Good morning, fellow redeemed.
Do you have trust
issues? It is understandable if you do. And when it comes to our trust issues with God, there is something that can be done about it. And that is staying connected to Him and His Word. For the problem is not with God or with His Word. Our trust in Him is not misplaced. The scripture readings for this fifth Sunday of Easter remind us of where to put and keep our trust and why this is to be the case. As we get into our worship this morning, just a reminder that the words for our hymns are printed out in the worship bulletin, and that worship bulletin can be found on our website under the Staying Connected to God's Word link or the Worship Live link. Also, the worship bulletin, together with the Bible study and other important links for Sunday morning and throughout the week, they are emailed out to those who are on our email list. If you'd like to be on that email list in the future, please contact our church office. Enjoy your worship as we now turn our attention to our opening hymn. It's from Christian Worship number 341, Crown Him with Many Crowns. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus lives. Hallelujah. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
We give thanks to you, O Lord. Your mercy endures forever.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen. Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. O God, you form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may ever yearn for the lasting joys of heaven. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson for this fifth Sunday of Easter comes to us from 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. A reminder that Elijah, the prophet, was part of a demonstration of God's existence and of His power. We hear this account. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied. "But you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel. And bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you will call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, He is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is in deep thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water, and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." They seized them. And Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. 7 times Elijah said, "Go back." The 7th time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The word of the Lord. Truly, you are God's own, and He has given you and me and all His own the task of telling others about Him. This reminder from our second lesson in 1 Peter chapter 2. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord. Our gospel lesson or reading comes to us from John chapter 14, pointing out the fact that clearly Jesus is the way to life now and for all eternity. And he indeed has been preparing a place for us in his home above. This encouragement we hear. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Jesus, the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Our hymn of the day is At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing from Christian Worship, number 141.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance. And this is from God our Father through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. We focus our attention this fifth Sunday of Easter on the words of the gospel reading from St. John, the 14th chapter, hearing once again these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If worry or doubt or fear or uncertainty or whatever word you want to use were a unit of measurement, how much of that in pounds are you carrying in yourself? Now, don't tell yourself the answer you think others want to hear, but the answer God already knows about you. Is there a day that goes by in which we do not worry about something or do not have some sort of trouble to deal with, whether it be a physical trouble or an emotional one or even a spiritual trouble? There is a reason why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 that we are not to worry about tomorrow, for today has enough to worry about in and of itself. Now, by saying this, Jesus was not encouraging us to worry, but rather reminding us to not get all wound up in our worry in the future, and for sure in matters that are out of our control. He knows the flesh side of us is going to worry. Now, what we do with this worry or fear or doubt or uncertainty is the key. Or even more importantly, what He can do about it and has already done about it on our behalf. This is why the opening words of John chapter 14 are so vital and crucial and important for us today, and not just today, but every day of our lives here on this earth. "Do not let your heart be troubled," Jesus says. This is not just an easier said than done statement in a false attempt to build us up. These are the words of our Savior, with whom nothing is impossible, and who cares about you, all of you, the entire person. Knowing us then, He says to each one of us, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Rather, keep trusting in Jesus. Keep staying connected to His Word." This is important because throughout life, and this is nothing new since the fall into sin, the waters of life are churning. They are stirred up, and so our lives are full of trouble and doubt and anxiety and worry and fears and uncertainty. No different for the disciples at the time of Jesus, who were the first to hear those words of Jesus in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." There was so much going on in the disciples' life at that time, and there was so much to be going on in the next couple days, as it was Monday, Thursday. And so Jesus is preparing their minds and their hearts by telling them, as you're dealing with life's churned up moments now, and as you're going to deal with life's churned up moments in 24 hours, in 48 hours, and in a week, and so on, remember, do not let your heart be troubled. Think about that too, that Jesus is reminding His disciples of what not to do, knowing that what is going to come ahead of them in their lives, while He Himself that night is going to be arrested, and then knowing that He's going to be put to death. Jesus isn't focused on Himself, looking out only for himself, but rather he's looking out for his disciples and he's looking out for the people of this world, giving us this reminder that even though your life may be turned upside down, do not let your heart be troubled. What is it in your life that has been turned up? What waters of life are stirred up that's causing doubt or fears or anxiety or uncertainty in your life? Well, we're probably tired of hearing about the coronavirus, but that definitely is one thing that is causing fear and doubt and uncertainty in the minds of people, some more than others, especially as we face high unemployment rates. Perhaps you're one of those people that have been impacted by the unemployment. And so there's worry and fear and uncertainty and doubt. Say, does God really love me? Why did he allow this to happen to me? God knows we're going to have such questions. And instead of chastising us, he reminds us, do not let your heart be troubled. Keep turning to Jesus. Be reminded of what he has done and is continuing to do for you, even in the face of churned up waters. Maybe it's something medical that's causing doubt or fear, uncertainty in your life. Understandable. Do not let your heart be troubled. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe a disagreement in the family that's causing uncertainty or angst. Again, whatever that might be in your life, recognize it is a part of life. You are human. It is normal. It's not something that we intentionally want to bring upon ourselves or that God intentionally brings into our lives, but he allows it. He knows it's there, and he prepares us to deal with it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. It's important that we keep that in mind, because Jesus is the key for us to move forward. He points out the fact that the way for us to move forward is found in him alone. For it is said in our reading, Jesus' own words, I, Jesus says, am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to deal with the uncertainties and the fears and the worries of life. I am the way that gives life, not just for this side of heaven, but for all eternity. And with that in mind, indeed, do not let your hearts be troubled, because the uncertainties and the stirred up waters of this life cannot null and void what Jesus has already accomplished for you and for me and for all in the home of heaven he has waiting for his people. So do not let your heart be troubled. Keep that in mind by continually turning to Jesus, not turning to that bottle, which may provide temporary relief, but then again may not, and then open up a whole nother can of worms and churned up waters, or the drugs, or whatever else it might be. Turning to ourselves is not the answer. Turning to human means is not in and of itself the answer. God provides our fellow human beings and other resources to turn to help us through moments, but ultimately, the source that can help us and does is Jesus himself, who is the way to life. Again, recall the words at the end of the Gospel of John. These words are written in the Bible that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the promised one, the anointed one. And that by believing in him, you may have life in his name, life now and into eternity. So do not let your heart be troubled. No other source can give us such life. No other religious belief systems, no working out our salvation will accomplish that. And we're reminded also in these words, it's that we don't seek out God because we're not in a position to seek him out. Rather, he seeks us out. And he doesn't arm twist us to believe in him. He calls us through the gospel to believe in him and to hold on to him through thick and thin. And so do not let your heart be troubled. Jesus is not only the way, he is also the truth. He is the truth. Not could be the truth, doesn't just offer the truth. He is the truth, and he is the absolute truth. If we didn't have absolute truth, this world would not exist. And so there is truth that does exist. And Jesus is the truth we need for this life and for eternity. Now, people may try to run from this truth and look for other resources to find answers than the truth, Jesus Christ. But if your map system is faulty, it's not going to lead you to the destination you wanted to get to, but rather in a place you didn't want to get to. And maybe that place it leads you to is not going to be safe. And so for those who do not follow Jesus, again, their destiny is not going to lead them to a good place, but rather to hell, a place reserved for Satan and all those who follow him. How important it is then to know the truth. And the truth is right before us on the pages of Holy Scripture. The word that the Apostle Peter reminds us of endures forever. Jesus is the truth, the absolute truth. There are no hidden motives for Jesus to speak the truth. Rather, his motive is love, to remind us of the truth that he is the way to life. And then Jesus is life. He himself offers life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that we could know who God is and see his love in action face to face for those disciples back in Jesus' time. And for us, through the pages of Holy Scripture, Jesus is life. The life he has to offer us gives us peace with God our Father. Our sins have been reconciled. And the life he has to offer goes beyond this life and into eternal life. As we were reminded of in this Easter season, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And he asked that question, "Do you believe this?" And your answer is, by the grace of God, yes. We believe. And so do not let your heart be troubled as the waters of life stir up around us. God knows what is going on in your life. As we hear this fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we're also reminded of the fact that we are to honor the Son just as we honor God the Father. For he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus, the Son, is on the same page with God the Father. Both are concerned about our well-being. Both want to see us in heaven and have taken the steps to make that happen. As the disciples were witnessing Jesus in action, they were witnessing the Father in action as well. They got to know who God the Father is through Jesus the Son. And you and I, through the pages of Holy Scripture, as we connect to Jesus by way of that word, we too get to know who God the Father is and what he's about and what his will is for us. And he wants us to be saved. And so he sent his Son to do just that. And because of what his Son has done, Jesus can say, "Do not let your heart be troubled." So keep turning to the Word. The Word that God has provided painstakingly, without error, to keep us connected to Jesus and to remind us where our life really is to remain centered on Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. That word reveals what Jesus did for us. He cares so much for us that he was willing to come to this earth and to suffer all that he suffered for us and in our place. Recall the words of Isaiah 53, how we would not even recognize Jesus, how much he had had to suffer, the beatings that he would take, the blood dripping down his face as he's going to the cross, and the agony he would feel and endure while on that cross. Never doubt his care for you. And then he said, it is finished from the cross. Your sins, my sins, the sins of all people, paid for in full, never to be brought up against us again. And then he rose again, as promised, as he told his disciples. And so, disciples, as you see what's happening in the next few days, do not let your hearts be troubled. Recall what I've been trying to tell you all this time. And because he lives, we too shall live. Death has no mastery over us. Thanks be to God. And then he had to ascend back to his Father's throne. His work here on earth was done, winning our salvation. But that doesn't mean he's done with his work. He continues to look out after us. He mediates on our behalf, day in and day out. He had to do these things because he cares about you and me and all. And while he's in heaven, he has prepared rooms for us. And the word rooms reminds us that this is a permanent setting. This is something that we can be settled in. Now, when you're away from your own bed for a time, doesn't it feel good to get back into your own bed and feel settled again into your own home? How much more so of permanency and settled feeling we're going to have when the Lord calls us to himself in heaven. And there is room for all in heaven. And Jesus wants all, but unfortunately, sadly, not all are going to be there because of their rejection of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, because they'll reject what Jesus has done for them, winning their salvation. They're going to throw it aside. And not just those who are currently outside the church, but sadly, even people within the church now. Too often don't stay connected to Jesus and his word and drift away and fall away permanently from Jesus in the room that he has prepared for them. Jesus addresses that too. And so through the word, he provides what we need. He provides us with reminders and reassurances of how important it is to stay connected to Jesus, and reminds us that we're going to have trials and tribulations here in this side of heaven, and that he has done something about them. First of all, he has won our salvation. And secondly, with him all things are possible. And when he says he can lift us up and help us endure through our trials, even though he may not remove them, he will do just that. And he does. He provides reassurances throughout Scripture. Familiar passages that some of you have learned from little on. Psalm 23, Psalm 46, Psalm 121, Romans 8, and the list goes on and on. We don't need the miracles of Jesus performed in our very eyes, for we have those recorded down in Scripture. We have the very words of Scripture. The disciples didn't have them, but they were to be producers of them by God's own doing, so that we would have the proper testimony to guide us all our days. And as we're into that word, and then reminded of all that God has done and continues to do for us, and we have those reassurances recorded on the pages of Scripture, he encourages us to pray to him. He hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers as he knows best for us. And he reminds us to pray in his name and according to his will. He even taught his disciples in a summary form what that will is. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're reminded of that. Not to be a magic formula, not to be said just through lip service, but to be conscious of what it is that we are to ask for, whether we use those exact words or not. Because let us not become superstitious with the Lord's Prayer, but treat it as God truly intended it to be for us, a model prayer, reminding us of what to ask for. To ask for those things that are in accordance with his will. The importance then of being in his word, so we know what it is to be in line with his will. And as we pray in line with his will and in Jesus' name, he hears and he answers as he knows best. And he does know best. For too often we're asking for the here and now solutions, and Jesus is saying, I have more than just the here and now. I got all eternity for you. Don't lose sight of that, dear people, he says. Do not let your heart be troubled. And then through that word that he has given to us, and through prayer, because one of our prayers too is, Lord, use us as instruments to share your word of salvation and peace. And he answers that by giving us the words to share, by putting hope in the lives of other people. People know that you are suffering. You then become a springboard to share the reason for the hope that you have. It's Jesus. And so you can tell them, do not let your heart be troubled. So much ground around us is like sinking sand, because there's this how-to book and the how-to this and how-to that. But without Jesus, it's all empty. Jesus is solid ground, the way, the truth, and the life. So as we go about our way this week, whatever that way may be, and as you deal with doubt and uncertainty and fears and worry, or whatever term you want to use for what you're going through, keep in mind these words of the hymn writer. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare to make no other claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant and blood support me in the raging flood. When every earthly prop gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All their ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All their ground is sinking sand. Whether that be preached from the middle of the church or from the pulpit, this word endures, and it is true. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All their ground is sinking sand. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now, with boldness and confidence, confess the Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're beginning for us on page 8 of the service bulletin.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Again, thank you for your generous, faithful offerings during this time and always, but especially during this stay-home order time as the work of the church continues. So again, thank you, as there are ways to provide your offerings through mail or through our online giving resources. So to God be the glory as we continue to glorify him and grow in his grace and go with his gospel. Let us now turn to the prayer of the church. Lord God, our maker and preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth at this place and everywhere.
Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
O risen Savior, grant us hearts to yield you gladly, freely of your own. With the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you at length, believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. Lord, physician of body and soul, continue to lift up in faith our sister Vicki Underwood as she faces continued health challenges. As you will, bring healing to her body and peace of mind to her soul. Continue to bring healing to the people of the world, spiritual, physical, and emotional, as we still deal with the COVID-19 situation. We pray our nation and world can open up soon as we are ready to socialize with our family and friends. And as that happens, help us be respectful of laws and of each other, for this too is an opportunity to reflect glory on your name and give witness to the full life we have in Jesus, that not even this situation can separate us from the certainty of life in heaven when that time comes. We also praise you, O God, for the gift of mothers. You have promised to be their strength and outlet during the days of raising a child. Continue to grant mothers everywhere the ability to meet their responsibilities with love, devotion, and joy. May we not take motherhood for granted or apologize for the important role they serve in this world of yours. Help them stay the course despite a lack of praise and support from family and friends. Forgive them for times of selfishness and complaining. Refresh them with your love shown in Jesus, their Redeemer and ours. And your love, Lord, for our life is evident in multiple ways. For those celebrating a birthday this week, continue to have your blessings be evident in their lives. Continue to deepen the love and commitment of those celebrating a wedding anniversary. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen. And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our next hymn is Delay Not, Delay Not, from Christian Worship number 337. Just a reminder that we do have Sunday morning Bible study online as well. We start the broadcast at 9:15 during this stay-home time. So remember, 9:15 is the start of our Bible study. We're looking at the book of James this month. Also, for our children and the families, there's also Sunday school materials available through our website and the email links that were sent out. So please enjoy taking the time to grow in your faith through those lessons too. And you can watch them during the week. So a great thing, again, about our online capabilities. Devotions online as well as through other sources available through our website and also through the email link. Please enjoy those too throughout the week to stay connected to God's Word. We are working on plans, so when we're able to come back for face-to-face worship, we will be able to meet the protocols. And so we'll send that out when that time gets closer. We continue in the meantime to hone in what those protocols will be and what they'll look like here at our campus in St. Mark's. And one of the things that will be definitely nice when we get back together face-to-face will be hearing all your voices speaking and singing. And there will be no off-key singing because to God it's all sweet praise. So we look forward to that. And I know by your singing at home, you're definitely warming up your voices and you'll be ready to sing when we get back together. And so thanks also for staying connected to one another, to our fellow believers here at St. Mark's and outside of St. Mark's. I encourage you to keep calling and emailing and encouraging one another, staying connected to Jesus, reminding them to not let their hearts be troubled. We turn now to prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, You Are the Way Through You Alone, from Christian Worship number 356.